From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, August 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. When a Ferguson police officer shot and killed Michael Brown 10 years ago, it brought policing in the city under scrutiny and federal oversight. A familiar face is now in charge of the path forward.
I was so familiar with the demographics and the territory up here that I wanted to come here and try to do some good for the community.
A profile on Ferguson Police Chief Troy Doyle after the news on The Gateway. A deal that would have spared the life of Marcellus Williams is on hold. The Missouri Supreme Court late last night granted a request from Attorney General Andrew Bailey to temporarily block the agreement, in which Williams pleaded no contest to murder in exchange for a life sentence. He was sentenced to death for the 1998 murder of a University City woman, former St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter Felicia Gale. He has maintained his innocence, and attorneys re-examined his case this week. Judge Bruce Hilton now has two options. He can either proceed with a previously scheduled hearing on prosecutors' attempts to vacate the charges, or argue that he has the authority to enter into the deal. Williams is set to be executed September 24th. A new school year with a new enrollment system at the Hazelwood School District means hundreds of students learned this week they weren't enrolled in classes. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports on the impact.
Janie Henderson enrolled her son into Hazelwood West High School in June. She just found out that he wasn't registered for classes. The mother of five spent hours this week at the district's Opportunity Center trying to get her son enrolled. Officials explained they didn't have any of his necessary paperwork to start school. Henderson says officials never told her they were experiencing enrollment system issues. She says the delay hurt her son.
My son in ninth grade, so I felt like they were taking away from him his first day of high school. And I feel like that's a experience. So I was kind of upset because I felt like they can't get that back.
The district started the semester Monday, but Henderson's son started school Wednesday. She says she's paying for ride shares to and from school for her son because the district is also having bus issues. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County is taking back control of its animal shelter and adoption center. For the past 2 years, the Animal Protective Association of Missouri has been in charge of its operations. The county partnered with the APA in an effort to create a safer environment for the animals in its care and its employees. At the time, the Olivet shelter was beleaguered with overcrowding, inadequate services, and controversial euthanization practices. Outsourcing came with new employee training and facility best practices. Management touted an increase in the number of pets adopted into homes. Now the shelter will transition back to county operations in the coming months. In a statement, both organizations say they will continue to work together to build local capacity to look after and adopt out more animals. The county and APA had originally signed a 5-year contract for nearly $16 million. A massive 3D printer is building the first new homes in Cairo, Illinois in nearly 50 years. Eminence Resource Incorporated unveiled the 3D printing project in the southern Illinois town this week. It will take the machine about 45 hours to print the outer and inner walls for a duplex. Cairo Mayor Thomas Simpson says this is just the beginning for his community.
This is just the first home that's going to be built. Reason I want us to be here because we've got 15, 17. You can put a lot of homes on this property, folks.
That's right.
We can build a nice community for the folks, and it's all about those families who are displaced from Elmwood McBride. We've got people, they're ready to come home, and I don't blame them.
Hundreds of people were displaced when the Federal Housing and Urban Development Agency shuttered and condemned two apartment buildings that had fallen into squalor 5 years ago. People affected by the housing crisis will receive homes. Simpson and others say they hope this project will spur more like it and help Cairo rebound from years of economic decline. The Festival of Nations at Tower Grove Park this weekend is an annual celebration of the region's multicultural communities. Immigrants account for about 5% of the region's population, and the International Institute of St. Louis is a leading advocate for boosting those numbers. This year, the organization reports welcoming the largest number of immigrants and refugees seen in 20 years. Ario Benson is the president of the International Institute, which organizes the Festival of Nations. He says in the last 6 months, the organization has helped settle people from at least 23 countries speaking 55 different languages.
Nations are built by the strength of local communities.
local communities in the United States are made stronger by the ability for those communities to embrace and integrate diversity.
In that spirit, this year's festival will also include a booth showcasing parts of St. Louis culture, think Ted Drew's and Toasted Ravioli, geared toward new immigrants, along with dozens of international vendors, artists, and entertainers. The event runs Saturday morning through Sunday evening. It has been 10 years since a Ferguson police officer shot and killed Michael Brown Jr. His death prompted a Justice Department investigation that found widespread problems with policing in the city. It's under a federal mandate to make major policy changes. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has this profile of the man who is now in charge of that task.
Troy Doyle did not plan to be chief of the Ferguson Police Department.
Ultimate goal was to be the police chief at St. Louis County Police Department.
Doyle, who was 55, joined St. Louis County in 1992 and worked his way up through the ranks to lieutenant colonel. But last year, he realized he would not advance any further and retired. On March 14, 2023, the Ferguson City Council approved his hiring by a unanimous vote.
It was almost like a natural fit for me to be here as the chief of police. I was so familiar with the demographics and the territory up here that I wanted to come here and try to do some good for the community.
Doyle first wore the uniform of the Pagedale Police Department. He spent a good part of his St. Louis County career in the North County precinct. As that precinct's commander in 2014, he logged many hours along West Florissant, the epicenter of protests against Brown's killing.
I felt the pain, the emotions in the community and the people who were out there.
His job, he says, is to take that pain and use it to transform the way his officers police the city. He's drawing from his own lived experience as well.
I know it. I've been there. I got the trophy for it. I tell people all the time, I grew up in North County. I probably got pulled over more than anybody that I know.
Doyle came into the job with no illusions about the size of the task before him. The federal consent decree is 133 pages long with hundreds of policy prescriptions. But Doyle says it's not a punishment.
This is just a document that's just going to guide us in the right direction. This is going to set our policies and procedures and hopefully put us in a position where we have, you know, some of the best policies and procedures in the region.
Ferguson is making progress on the consent decree under Doyle's command. He's filled two key positions, a public information officer and a training coordinator. The department is more than 75% staffed and more closely matches the city's demographics. Ferguson is more than 70% black.
Many of the young officers, they understand what took place in 2014 and they want to be part of the change.
Travis Brown is one of those officers. Doyle hired him away from St. Louis County and made him a key part of his staff. Brown suffered a severe head injury on August 9th while trying to arrest protesters who had broken down fencing at the Ferguson Police Headquarters. At a briefing on the situation for the media, Doyle was visibly angry.
Everything that the activist community has advocated for, as far as body-worn cameras, implicit bias training, crisis intervention training, all this stuff, we have done all of this. What are we protesting?
The changes made so far are not what the people demanded, says Ashley Yates. She was a leader of the protests in 2014 and returned from Oakland, California to mark the 10th anniversary.
Well, it has been concessions, the things that they say make policing better, trainings that we know are ineffective, right? That studies have shown to be ineffective.
Yates was also critical of the high bonds that arrested protesters had to pay.
You may not be pulling people over at the same rate, but any chance that Ferguson and, you know, St. Louis County Police get, they're leveraging really punitive bails and bonds on people. We can't heal when the police are still repressing people.
Judges, not police departments, set those bonds, although officers do make decisions about what charges they seek. Doyle became Ferguson's eighth chief since March 2015 when he was sworn in. His contract is for 3 years. Beyond that, he says he doesn't know how long he'll remain with the department.
I know nationwide, you know, the average tenure for a police chief is 3 to 5 years, so I don't know. It just all depends on how things will go, I guess.
But he says regardless of how long he stays, being chief in Ferguson will be an important part of his legacy as a police officer. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can find all of our coverage of the 10th anniversary of Michael Brown Jr.'s death at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.